Yeah, bring it on.
Bring it on. Hey, this is the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. That's
NTNRadio.com,
right?
That's a good teamwork there.
That was totally good teamwork there. Ken's not with us today. We lost him.
No. Today?
Tomorrow either? I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, I think I'm going to talk like I'm from Delaware today. Who knows? What a nightmare. Horrors. Ken is not here with us today, so it's me and Warren holding down the show. We got a lot to talk about. Moto America was at Road Atlanta. Supercross.
A little bit of controversy there. I don't truly understand. It seems more made up than real, but yeah, it's
almost like
real.
Fake news. Maybe fake news.
But it's obviously real because there are some hard feelings.
Yes, somebody got butt hurt. And the same can be said about Assen, right? Over there with World Superbike, there were some butt hurt feelings there.
Yes.
I did make some of the comments of the year on Facebook on some video posted up about that. And then,
I missed it. Yeah, I missed it.
Somebody was put up because they had, I believe it was Rhea and Sykes kind of arguing back and forth. Or it might have been Rhea and Davies, right, where they were kind of like arguing back and forth about, no, it was Rhea and Davies with like a race incident, right? And I was just like, yeah. I was like, it's so funny to watch British people like argue.
Especially when one of them has a really, really heavy accent.
Yeah.
Rhea, you can pretty much understand.
Yeah, Davies, it was like, I needed an English-to-English translator. Like, I don't even know what the hell that guy's saying. So there was some controversy there, and we had Supercross, where
not really any controversy, but just a lot of crashes.
Doors blown off of the Supercross world this week. So, wow. We should talk about, we are doing the Doghouse Unhinged, and the only way you can get the Doghouse Unhinged is if you go to patreon.com/NTN. That's patreon.
There you go.
Yeah, .com/NTN.
And for as little as
a dollar a week.
A show.
A dollar a show. A dollar a week.
You can listen to us. You know,
we talked about mining asteroids. We talked about the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes.
We talked about little whining college kids.
Old Sparky.
We talked about Old Sparky.
A barbecue next to a hunger strike.
Barbecues, hunger strikes, future sci-fi movies that haven't even been made yet.
I mean, this is a little bit of everything.
There was a lot of stuff there. I can't even remember everything that we talked about. We jammed a lot in there. And it's like, for those of you who like listening to our voices or whatever, it's like an extra, I think it was only about a half hour, but usually it's anywhere between a half hour and an hour of extra content.
Yeah.
Bonus. For a dollar.
Dollar.
You can't buy a coffee for a dollar.
How you say dollar in
Delaware?
New York?
In dollar. A ducky, right? You can call it a ducky.
And if you live in England,
the pence, pound, quid, I don't know.
I think they're still in the euro, aren't they?
I have no idea. I'm not sure they were on the euro when they were in the euro.
I don't know.
Right? Because they always talk about
sure
quid.
I'm sure one of our European, English, Scottish, Irish,
you know, our English,
Great Britannish.
Our England to European translator has been slacking. So I'm going to have to like yell at Javier about that. He's been slacking. You know, he's like, I've had things going on. I don't care. Right? You need to be there for me. Right? Oh, you know, I wasn't in internet range. Well, the internet is worldwide, right? That's why it's called the World Wide Web. Don't go slacking on me.
It's a web.
It's a web.
Around the world. Is Ken calling?
No, Nancy Davenport is. Should we put her on the air?
Who is Nancy Davenport? Does it matter?
No.
Answer it and let's find out.
No, I don't want to do that. I'll be like, hello, you're on the air with the Doghouse.
Well, you'll enjoy this. Yesterday I get a call from a solicitor. I'm on the do not call list to start with.
Yeah.
So I get a call from a solicitor, and we had a guest at the house. So I answered her phone and go, hello.
Hello, everybody.
And no, I didn't say everybody. I said, hello. And so she says, well, you know, this is so-and-so with XYZ Mortgage Company, and I think we can lower your rate. And I said, really? He said, yes. How much? What's your current rate? I said, well, can you beat 3.5%? Just like that. I'm talking real, you know, like, he says, that's going to be difficult because, you know, the interest rates have went up. I said, okay, what are you wearing? She hung up on me.
I either start, like, when I get one of those phone calls, I either start with, so what are you wearing? Or I start with, the job's done. I expect the cash payment. And hang up. I love doing that.
Speaking of getting the job done.
Yeah. Supercross.
How about those 250s?
There was a lot of guys that didn't get the job done in 250s.
Some of the guys that really needed to get the job done.
Didn't. Joey Savacci was pretty much the disappointment of the night.
Yeah, he jumped into the front of one of the whip sections and spilled the bike.
Well, you got to jump all the whoops. You can't just do like the first one.
Yeah, or at least you got to land on top of them. Landing in the front of them just not going to work too well.
You know, if the hill's still going up when your tire hits, you're pretty much in trouble already.
And it wasn't like his front tire was at the top of it either.
No, he just was not having a good day there. It was a tricky track. It was very loose. It was a good track, but it was very loose spots.
Yeah.
Right? It was loose. It was gravelly. You know, it looked gravelly, gritty. Right?
Yeah, I don't know if that was actual gravel or just clogs of mashed dirt.
Right? A lot of times, Supercross tries to get dirt from the area.
Mm-hmm.
So East Rutherford's in a swamp that New York karting companies dump trash into. So there was probably bottles in there and dead body parts.
Medical waste,
right? I mean, it was not a place I'd want to fall. Right?
Well, even though Savacci did fall and had what looked to me like it was a pretty hard crash, he did get back up. And did finish in third. Now, here's something you're going to have to help me out with. You know, was he the... For some reason, I'm just having a brain fart.
No,
was he the one that...
He finished in eighth and ended up third in points.
But he finished... Didn't he get docked positions because he cut back in early?
Yes.
So he finished in third, but
they docked
after
him
the
time.
Penalty,
right.
He got dumped back to eighth.
Yeah.
So, because what he did was he, after the crash, or after one of his mishaps, because he had more than one.
Yeah.
He ran up the center of two lanes, you know, between the two sides of the track.
You're supposed to enter the track as quickly and safely as you can.
But he went up the middle and then turned into the right-hand lane where he went out on the left-hand lane.
Yeah.
So, he basically cut the corner.
Yeah. Well, that's a fast way. Right, you know, the grass is fast, and off the grass, you know, it's fast, right? You know, out of the whoop. I mean, he was struggling to go over the whoops and the hills and stuff, so you might as well just eliminate them and turn it into a
flat-out
flat track race, right? Much faster, much faster. Yeah, he had some problems. Local boy, and Abington is not all that local, but Abington, but it's close enough.
Comparison to California is a little.
Yeah, Zach Osborne ended up winning that race. Dylan Fernandez had a good race.
The French guy.
Yeah, the French guy. Yeah, you know, he's actually quite the rider.
Yes, he is.
Jordan Smith finally made a return to the podium and didn't look like the winner we saw, but he did look pretty good. Adam Ciancerola I was hoping a lot more from him this year.
Yes, I think everyone was. And Christian Craig both.
Yeah.
We're expected to do better.
I was expecting a lot more from him, and we didn't see it. Although he's had a solid season, I think he's still fourth or fifth in points, which is good.
He's in fourth.
Yeah, there we go. Considering the injuries he had, but it's not great. Osborne and Savacci are tied for second and third, and Smith only has 1 point, so they will be fighting it out in Phoenix with the combined
Savacci's
race.
got him by 5 points. All right, he's got 166 points, where Zach Osborne's got 159 and Smith's got 158.
Then why are my points not updated?
I don't know. Maybe you're looking at last week's race.
I have Smith at 160, Osborne 159, Savacci 159. Osborne with the lead because of weight race wins.
Now my website says 166, 159, 158.
Okay. I don't know what to even say then. But all right. Well, who the hell knows? Well,
either way, it's still relatively close.
Yeah, it's going to come down.
It's one wreck away from any one of the three taking the win in a championship East.
Now I want to look and make sure that my... Right? I was just getting it from Supercross Live. Now I feel like a dummy. That's what happens on live radio that's recorded. We should probably edit all that out because we can and can't nobody stop us. Yeah, I think wherever you're reading it hasn't updated or has it wrong.
Well, this is Cycle News, which
Yeah, I don't trust Cycle News. Go right to Supercross Live for your standings because those are the people who actually run the series. Cycle News, for some reason, has it wrong. Don't know what.
Anyway, it's close.
It's close. It's 2 point. 1 point separates the top three, unless you are Warren's, and it's like 20 points.
6 points.
Right, same thing. But yeah, anybody can win it, right? I don't know. I don't know who I put my money on.
Well, I can't see Savatgy having as bad as a race two in a row, unless he hurt himself there and we just don't know about it.
Maybe, but Osborne, you know, Smith could have a good race. I have no idea, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be
any one put of it three, on the track. Any one of the three.
Right, put it on the track. Let me see what happens. Then we had the 450s.
Even if they all three crashed out in DNF, one of those three is going to win it.
Yeah. That's actually true. Somebody is going to win it, and it's probably going to be one of those three. Although, if all three of those crash, Cesarola could win it.
25 points isn't enough.
Yeah, he's at 146. He's only 14 behind the leader in the real standings.
Okay.
In the real standings, all right, so those guys crash.
If Cycle News is wrong, then you are correct.
Because Cycle News is wrong. I don't think Cycle News has been updated in like 2 years.
They've been out of business for a while. We just don't know it.
Some of us do. We read those and like those aren't even the real standings. Yeah, Eli Tomac hasn't raced 250 East in like 4 years, right? Go to hell. It's like, no. I don't know what's going on over there. I just grabbed the points, the titles and stuff off of Supercross Live because I feel responsible. I like the little dig at Warren.
We'll find out if Cycle News is right on the 450s.
I doubt it because they probably still have Tomac in the lead.
They do not.
Okay. Well, then maybe some people just can't add. So the 450s, I think Ricky Carmichael said it best. The red plate's heavy.
Yes.
And Tomac got out there and
he had a miserable evening.
He had a good evening until he made it miserable. Right? He had the lead and he dumped it with the lead. And the one thing we saw about Jersey was because the track was so loose and so gritty, you couldn't push it. Right?
Especially coming out of the turns. If you tried to cut it too tight, that front end was going to go out.
Right? All by himself.
And it wasn't just him. It happened to a bunch of guys.
Yeah, and you couldn't push it. You had to run a nice steady.
You had to hit the ruts.
You had to race the track.
As much as anybody else.
Right, and you had to, and patience would have brought him a bigger lead than, I gotta go. Right? I don't think Dungy would have caught him if he'd stayed up.
It would have been very tight, but right? I think you're right.
But he dumped it, and it stalled. Which, with the new clutches in those bikes, I'm not sure exactly how that happens, but I'm okay with it, right?
Well, I don't think they all had the variable, the clutch.
I thought the top guys all did.
I don't know.
But anyways.
I know the KTM does.
Anyways, he stalled it, right? And a couple guys went by, then a couple more guys went by, then a couple more guys went by.
He dropped down to eighth or ninth.
No, he was down to like 15th by the time he got back in. Right? I mean, he was in like Chad Reed territory. He was back there. I mean, Malcolm Stewart passed him. You get passed by Malcolm Stewart, you should be thrown out of Supercross. No.
Well, by that
I'm just hating on Malcolm.
No, but it's actually kind of true because Malcolm has some great preliminaries, and he starts off really strong in the final.
Malcolm's out of shape.
He starts off really strong in the final, but by halfway through the final, he fades.
Right, he's out of shape.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the energy. He needs to get in the gym. He needs to get out and ride more.
Yeah, because there's a couple races I thought he could have won. He was up in the top three, running hard, looking good, and then he's in fourth, and then he's in seventh, then he's in eighth, then he's in ninth.
That's the difference, right? I mean, you hear it every so often. When Roczen became a bigger thing, and even Dungy said that the training things of Villopoto, right? Villopoto was, oh man, once I got in shape, I was good, right? Mm-hmm. We say the same thing that we say about Malcolm Stewart that we say about Barcia, right?
Yeah.
Got to get in shape, buddy.
Yeah, I think Barcia and Malcolm both could get factory rides if they could stay at the same intensity for the whole race. For the whole race.
Right? They're out of energy. It doesn't help when you have to go through, you know, the second round, the heats, and, you know, and 450s, mm-hmm. right? But you still need to be in shape, right? Because Ryan Dungey and Tomac do that. Musquin does it when he has to go through, right? They do that. You got to be in shape. Right, you got to get in the gym. You got to ride more. Yeah. You got to be in riding.
Barsha didn't do
shape.
Too bad. He finished ninth this time, and Stewart finished 13th. So that's about where he normally finishes.
Yeah, but they still need to be in shape, right? Yeah. They're just not in shape
in comparison.
In comparison,
in comparison to us, they're in.
Oh yeah, I mean they would outride me. Right? I mean he probably looks like the dude who plays Aquaman now, right? Compared to me, but that's a whole other story. Tomac just threw it away, right? It's a mental. When you get to there,
and Dungey was just steady the entire race.
Dungey did what Dungey does.
He looked like the Diesel from last season.
Yeah, he just plugs and chucks, right?
Now he was doing that behind Musquin, and it goes up to the next to the last, right? The penultimate lap.
On the penultimate lap, we couldn't read his. His sign, his
yeah, that's what you say,
right? And they know they're saying, well, they say there's no team orders, but are there team orders? I think
well,
no.
Not only is there team orders, even if there's not, Musquin can't win the championship. His teammate,
yeah, but
can.
He still get that bonus money.
He does get the bonus money. So now those conspiracy theories, did Musquin throw the race so that Dungey could get the win?
I think we figured this out.
And, well, I think you and I are in agreement, but there's a lot of people on the different boards and in different articles that are saying...
That just means, those. If you're on a message board or in a Facebook group or you got a friend that doesn't know anything about Supercross, pretending he does, and he thinks Musquin hauled it back in that corner to let Dungey by, tell him to listen to this show. Come right to whatever minute mark this is right now and say, hey, you got to listen to this. Because we all both said, you know, the perfect way to give up the lead to your teammate with team orders is to have a mishap and let him go by like you screwed up, overshot a turn, miss a gear.
The easier ways would be to go wide in a turn.
Miss a turn, miss a gear, throw off your rhythm so that you can't do a double or a triple and you only end up doing a double.
Yeah, there's several ways you can do it.
As Warren said.
And still look good.
And still look good and just look like it was the pressure of the guy hounding you.
Yes.
But Musquin, like you said, he cross-rutted.
Yeah, he was running hard and then coming out of that turn, his front forks was in one rut and his rear was in a different one.
Which out there is if it's either hit the brakes or go over. And he hit the brakes, right? You'd mentioned before the show that you couldn't see him do that. Was a risky way to do that because that could have thrown you out a second, which is why I believe.
Well, how many times have we seen guys get cross rutted and they go over the handlebars?
Yeah, right. So I don't think he gave up the lead willingly. I think he actually screwed up.
Because I think
he wanted to win.
Yeah, because what you said a few minutes ago, he was going to get extra money for a win.
Yeah, everybody gets extra money for a win.
But at the same time. I can understand the conspiracy theories.
I can, but I
just don't think it's the case this time.
It doesn't look that way. When, you know.
Now, next week, if something similar happens,
right.
And the points are on the board, I bet you there's team orders been issued already.
I bet you Roger
DeCoster has already said, Marvin, if you're going to win the race and Dungey's going to lose the championship, here's what you do.
You're going to hit that tough block. They're probably going to go put a big... If you see a big, like, yellow X on a tough block, right? That's the one. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you really have to worry about it if you're KTM. You know, here's the deal. Dungey is the most podium... Highest percentage podium finishing of everybody in the history of Supercross.
Yeah, he has Dungey. The record for the most podiums.
Right. Well, he has the record for the highest percentage.
Yeah.
Right? He now has to finish off the podium, and Tomac has to win for Tomac to win the championship.
Well, according to Cycle News, he's 8 points separation. Or 6 points separation.
You need to send hate mail. So it's going to be send hate mail to Cycle News because on... Supercross Live, it's 9 points. It's 341.
Oh, no, yeah, it is 9 points. I was looking cross-eyed at the row.
Yeah, you probably look cross-eyed at everything. You're from West Virginia. Everything's cross-eyed. You'd be used to cross-eyed.
Nine points.
So that's below fourth.
Yep. He has to finish up.
He's got to finish like sixth or worst.
Sixth or worst. And Dungy and Tomac has to
win. When was the last time Dungy finished sixth or worse?
Has he done it this year?
I don't remember if he has.
He had a couple.
He had a fifth.
He had a couple off races.
Yeah, an off race with Dungy's fourth.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's a podium machine.
Yeah, he's came back from last place
to finish fourth
or third.
Right. You know, he's a podium machine. If you're Eli Tomac, that mistake you made cost you the championship. You're going to look back at the film and say, I threw it away in Jersey. Which, I mean, it is the garbage state, so throwing away stuff there is kind of, you know, I mean, that's on their state flag, right? It's a pile of garbage. Yeah.
The biggest issue I have going into the Las Vegas final round of the 2017. The two issues I have with the final round of the 2017 Supercross season is, one, I'm not going, and two, it doesn't come on until after 10 o'clock Eastern time.
I'm going to have to nap all day. You know, I'm going to be busy Saturday. I have an event I have to do Saturday. And it's like, I'm going to be drinking. I have to drive. I'll have like an hour drive home from it. I'm going to drink like 3 gallons of coffee.
Yeah.
So I don't even like coffee.
Yeah. I'm going to stay up as late as I can to watch it, but it won't be over.
I can't not watch this live.
Yeah, because it's not going to be over till going on 1 o'clock.
I know. They should race the 450 finals first. So I can go to bed. We all know who's going to be in it, right? I don't care. Throw out 10 guys, throw out the top 10 in points, and let them duke it out. Right? We don't need all the rest. We don't need lappers.
Well, you're pissing me off here.
Why?
Because a few weeks ago I said, we need a race in which once you get lapped, you leave the track, and that's the position you finish in. And you got all over me for even suggesting that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is different. This is whether or not I can make it awake to watch the race live, right? This is important. This is about me. That was about other people before. This is about me. A week ago, we were talking Tomac's a lock to win the championship. Now, I don't see him winning. I don't see it happening.
You think the pressure's too much? You think that red plate that he had?
I don't think he can do it. The weight was... Carmichael said it.
Yeah, he did say it.
The red plate is heavy.
And he is a goat for a reason.
He is the goat for the reason. And now you got to take and bank on Dungy finishing off the podium. How do you do that?
That's not a good bet.
The odds are against you.
It happens, but it's not a good bet.
What Tomac's going to need is his teammate.
It's like not taking Rhea for the double.
Right. Literally, Tomac has to pay somebody to wipe out Anderson. I mean, to wipe out Dungy.
Well, if Iannone was riding in Supercross, you can do that.
Tomac needs to call Ben Spies, be like, hey, you still got Crazy Joe's phone number? I need that dude to run a Supercross race.
Just one.
Just one.
Right? He doesn't have to go the whole time. Just has to go make at least one lap.
He just needs a good hole shot right into the side of the number one bike. Because how do you bet against Dungy finishing off the podium? I would never do that. It's a bad bet.
Yeah.
I think Tomac went from the driver's seat to impossible to win. You know, they always say...
It seems like that's an impossible thing to say.
I love watching like World Series of Poker, right? Because they always put up like the possibility of you winning the hand at each card flip.
Mm-hmm.
I think going into New Jersey, it was like 95% chance of Tomac winning the championship. Coming out, it's like 2%.
I think it's a little bit higher than that.
I don't.
I think it's somewhere around 20%.
I wouldn't say that because it's only like 2% of the time Dungy finishes off the podium.
Yeah, you do have a great point.
2 to 5%, right? I mean, he's done. He's gotta like go and like.
Would you
I don't
believe?
Know. Probably not.
I just kind of just have a, something you said a moment ago made me want to look. Ken Roczen is still in 20th place in overall points.
Well, yeah, I can
he's ahead
that.
Of Trey Kennard. He's ahead of
Wesley
Pike.
He's raced more than Trey Kennard. Right? Trey Kennard has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 races. Roczen had three, but, you know, he had 51 points.
Because he won all three of them.
No, he finished, like, second to last in the last one.
Well, right? That's because he...
But 51
points... It's because he broke. He broke himself.
Yeah, he did break himself. You know, it's hard to... It's hard to win a Supercross race. It's hard to score points in Supercross.
Now, there's,
it's hard.
Even though the... No, it's the 250. Was it one... Is the 250s where we had so many different winners this year. But in the 450s, there really hasn't been that many winners.
No. And it's hard, right? Tomac just threw it away, right? I mean, he was cruising. I'm looking at the points. Dungey's worth finished. He has one, two, three fourth places are his worst finishes this year.
And that's all because he had near the bottom starts.
Fourth place is a championship for him.
Yep.
Right? Tomac.
So that's why I said if there's going to be team orders, it's going to be this week, because if Marvin's in fourth and Tomac and Dungey's in fifth.
Maybe, but I still just can't bet on him being back there, right? I mean, he's Dungey. Well, yeah,
unless Dungey does something stupid, who's going to finish in front of him? Is it either going to be Marvin? Is it going to be Eli?
Or that's it?
Possibly
Anderson
or Seeley. But those are long shots.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's got the extra spot, right? He can finish in fifth and still win.
Unless he gets behind Reed again.
And that's banking, right.
Would Reed do this just to prevent him from getting a championship?
I don't think he can. I think Supercross would be too mad at him. They'd probably red flag it and beat him up on the track. Right? Stans would jump out on the thing and beat him up. Especially, had that happened in Jersey, he'd have gotten, like, thrown, belted with stuff.
But this is Vegas.
This is Vegas, right? I just, the bigger question to me is if Dungey has a good Supercross, a motocross season in the summer, does he retire? Does he not come back for 2018?
Oh, that's
there
a big question.
There have been rumors that 2018 was his last year. I think if I'm Ryan Dungey and I'm looking at it, I'm thinking if I win the championship and have a good motocross season, I'm punching out, because Tomac's going to be really strong and hungry next year, and you can't bank on that plate waiting that much next year, right? Because he's going to come out with something to prove. Some of these other guys are getting faster and better. I don't know if Roczen will be back.
Well, we've had that conversation multiple times. That was such a severe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I told people last winter after watching Earnhardt with his things that I said he'd be a fool to come back, and I don't see him staying for long. He announced his retirement, and I think Roczen's the same way. He's a fool. If he comes back, he's a fool, and he should retire. He's not going to be the Ken Roczen we know.
Well, I looked up how old Dungey is. He says it's 27 years old.
That's old. But okay, he's 27.
Chad Reed's like 70. 70.
Yeah, Chad Reed's almost as old as Jesse is. He's 27, but he's got four championships, which makes you... It makes you, right? He can run schools. He can do this, right? He's. We've talked about it. He doesn't have what he had a couple years ago.
If he can fix his starts, he'd be this year.
He's not hungry. I don't know.
But
I don't know.
You're jumping ahead on me again.
Yeah.
If he can fix his starts and have the desire, which is the big thing, because we've talked about it a couple times. He's made comments that sounded like, so what? I finished fourth. It was a great comeback, but okay. Tomac won. Okay. It wasn't until Chad Reed got in front of him and pinned him back and forced that, three, four laps he had to run extra to get around him. That's the first time we've seen that fire this season, really.
Yeah. I think if he has a good motocross season, retirement wouldn't be a bad thing, right? Go out, four-time champ, on top of your game, right? Because if he comes out next year and I think Musquin's getting faster. I think the battle for the championship next year is going to be Musquin
and Tomac.
right? I see Dungy right now.
Because this is only Muskin's second year at the 450s.
Yeah, right now, he can retire as a legend, right? He's going to be a four-time champ because I don't see him screwing the pooch on this last race. He's going to be a four-time champ and have one hell of an impressive and the most highest percentage of podium finishes in Supercross of all time, right? That is retirement to me. He's set for life. He can run his camps. He can train people. KTM will still pay him to go do things. He can go do other things. He can maybe get a TV gig, right? He's going to be able to do what he wants. And I'm sure he's been making bank.
You don't think he'd kick Ralph Sheheen out of the studio, do you? Out of the box?
Not Ralph Sheheen, but Emig. No, you know, but they find rooms for him. And there's other things to do at the track other than, you
commentary.
Know, commentary, right? You know, he could be a Monster Energy girl. No, he drives a Red Bull. but, you know, there's a bunch of things he could do. And I think if he has a good motocross season, this would be a time to punch
it. It could be.
Especially if he doubles. If he wins the motocross championship, right, mm-hmm. with the supercross championship, punch out. His rookie year, he won them both. His last year, he won them both. You punch out, right? Even though I think he's still got 3 years of good riding in him.
I guess we'll see.
I don't think he has 3 years of competitive for a title.
What about Rhea? Do you think he has another couple more years?
Are we going to jump into that and skip right over Moto America?
No. Would you want to do Moto America first?
Should we? Yeah.
There's more controversy in Moto America than there was in World Superbike.
More people care about World Superbike. Let's get Moto America over and done with. They were at Road Atlanta.
A good course.
A tricky course, right? That blind hill down, right? Like, you're coming over there, you're like, whoo, I don't know what's going on there. Which seems to be a little bit of the controversy of some things that have happened.
Which, I don't understand the controversy at all. It's either manufactured or Tony Elias has very, 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 very thin skin.
I think that's it. I think he's thin-skinned and a bit of a crybaby.
In the post-race interview of race one, I thought he was crying.
That's why he wears them big, weird sunglasses. If you ever see me wearing sunglasses like that, punch me in the face. I don't even care if they're a sponsor.
Nikki Hayden was wearing them too, but at least his was all dark and not, you know, shiny blue.
Yeah, I hate those kind of sunglasses. They look retarded.
It must be a fashion thing, but I didn't like
them. No, it's a sponsorship. Well, yeah, somebody's
like... Oh, yeah,
like,
it is. But it probably is a sponsorship.
Because all three viewers of Moto America watched that. Sorry.
No, well, hey, compared to last week, the coverage this time was very good. Every race was on TV, and every race was live. There was no El Clasico soccer to kick it to weird times and to preempt
it
and
stuff.
So, yeah, being sports had it, I'll give them credit. The coverage was great this weekend of World Superbike and of Moto America.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they're finally getting on the picture and figuring that out. Hopefully, that's
they actually had some good interviews this weekend too. I mean,
they didn't interview me.
Well, you were busy.
Oh, that's actually true. I was busy.
So that's probably the only reason. So let's talk about the Super Stock. Nick McFadden won both races. I mean,
The 600.
Yes, the 600. Yes. Superstock 600.
Yeah, you know, I like the 600. You know, the smaller bikes there. I think the 600s are some of the best. I think some of the best racing. I think you have good, but you're talking Superstock. I was thinking super. Whatever they call it, Super Sport.
Super Sport, that's the races that J.D. Beach is in.
Yes, and the Valentin DeBees won. Did he win both races?
No, Gerloff
won the first one, that's right.
Gerloff won the first race, followed by DeBees and then J.D. Beach.
Yeah.
And in the second race, the top two switched, is DeBees and Gerloff, followed by J.D. Beach.
Yeah.
So Beach had to finish third both races. It was a lot of fun watching them, you know. And you know, for whatever reason, JD Beach is a favorite here at the doghouse. JD Dog always does a great job. He's always going full out.
Here's the thing, and I think I've said this before. I even said this to Jiggy Dog to his face at Atlanta, right? When we sat down and we got to interview the Jiggy Duck.
At the Hour.
No, this was at Atlanta. I'm not Atlanta. Birmingham.
Okay.
Right?
Barber.
Barber.
I don't think it's called Barber anymore, is it?
Yes, it's still Barber. Okay. Right? At Barbara, we talked to him, I'm pretty sure it was off the air. It might have been on the air. I have to go back and look at the video. You know, and I said to him, I said, you are like the one guy who I truly believe will race any kind of bike in any fashion you want to race and be competitive. He's the one guy out of every series of motorcycle racing that I could say that. He can run flat track. I'm pretty sure if he wanted to, he could make the finals in 450 Supercross.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, the kid can wheel. He's a killer on flat track. I mean, he is fast in flat track, right? He top fives, top threes when he runs the flat track series against the best flat trackers in the world because they can beat even the MotoGP guys around flat track races, right? I mean, there's no slouches there. He comes in and he's top three and he has a lot of wins now in super sport. I think he would be a good drag racer, right? He's fearless on a bike. And he's like, I hate him, but he's like Kyle Busch. Right, I believe Kyle Busch would drive anything. Kyle Busch, Robbie Gordon, and Tony Stewart are three race car drivers who I think you could put into any kind of race car and they'll be competitive. Right, probably Robbie Gordon more than any of them. Right, and I feel like JD Beach, if you throw him on a pro stock drag race, you know, if you throw him on an NHRA pro stock bike, he'd be in the finals in his first run, and you'd be like, "Oh, who is this guy?" And you'd be like, "I'm Jiggy Doke."
In the first race, it was Valentine DeBeese and Gerloff were just going back and forth almost the entire race. And JD was not even, he couldn't keep up.
He was
close, but he was never close enough to be, and there was so much space between him and the fourth place finisher, Benny Solis, that it was just top three guys, actually it was just the top two guys.
And then
JD, and then Benny, and then the rest of us.
I don't think Atlanta is a good track for Beach.
No, and they actually said that during the broadcast, the presenters, and they said that this is not his best track.
It's not a good track for him because I don't think it gets slick enough.
They didn't really go into reasons, but that would, you know, because his last five races last season, he won the last four or five races last season,
right? When it gets greasy, right? He's the guy that when the track gets greasy, it's going to go by you, right? I mean, because he's a wheeler, right? Atlanta is a hit your marks, right? Atlanta is a hit your marks and you race the track. And yeah, all these, you race the track. But Atlanta is a really big hit your marks, know what's coming, go over it, right? And I think Beach is... Well, I think he totally understands how to hit the marks, and he does it. I think Beach is at his best when you hit your marks, and it's slick, and it's sliding the bike out, and the other guys are backing it off, and he's putting his foot down and riding, right? He is just that. He's that kind of rider in my mind. Maybe he's not, but in my mind, he's that way. But, yeah, so the super stock, I mean, the super sport, I think there's great competition in that.
For amongst the top three, yes.
Yeah.
The second race, JD Beach led a good chunk of it, but he just didn't have, Gerloff and the Bees ran him down, passed him, and then it was just between them till the very end.
You know, now one thing.
I think the second race, one of the two races, it was just like 200ths of a second separated the two winners, the top two positions.
Yeah, that had to be the first race.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. The one thing I do like, I'm not a big super stock fan, right? Because, it's a gateway thing. But there's some good talent in the super stock there, too, right? You got Anthony Masiato the third, who was in the KTM Cup last year. And he ran over in the KTM Finals over there in Europe. And you got Andrew Lee, who didn't have a great race, but... You know, he's an up-and-coming talent, I think. You know, we've been hearing about him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so there's a couple guys in that. And Nick McFadden has been you know, making his name known. He's a person who's now on our radar, and I hope Camacho, right, becomes somebody we have to talk about.
Because you just, like saying his name.
Just because, remember Macho Camacho?
Yeah.
The Hector Camacho, the boxer, right? And I'm like, I keep hoping they're going to, like, bring him on, and it ends up being his uncle or something, right? And to me, that I would do fist pumps and buy, like, a Camacho shirt if they have them.
Speaking of somebody else you'd like to talk about, Bobby Fong did not have, well, he had a good weekend up to a point. You know, he finished second in his first race, and I don't know what happened to him in the second race, but he had an off day in the second time.
Yeah, you know, that's, if there's any weakness about Bobby Fong, it's over a course of a season, he has those bad races, right? And that's unfortunately, that's the way his life is, right? Bobby Fong will come out and run the wheels off a bike and get a win. You'll be like, woo, yeah, and he'll pull a double and be like, woo, yeah, and the next week, you'll be like, wow, why didn't Bobby Fong show up to the race? You know, I love Bobby Fong. I think he's a great racer, but he has those points in the season where he's just not the, he's just not the
consistent
winning guy, right? Yeah, his consistency's off a little. But he seems to be doing well in the super stock, which is a tough class, right? I mean, there's a lot of talent in super stock 1000. I think he's doing good. Jake Lewis is fast. Danny Eslick is fast. Hayden Gillum's fast.
Now, the guy who won the first race, Matthew Schultz.
Schultz, yeah.
From South Africa. I read an article earlier that said this was going to be his last race because he couldn't afford to continue racing. So,
well, we talked about that last week. Yeah, and thank you for the hate mail to the couple people that said I'm a jerk for peeing on, I almost said the S word, on Moto America. But this, unfortunately, this is what happens, right? When you're not on a good television network, when you're not out doing events, when you're not bringing new fans to the track, guys like Matthew Schultz can't get sponsorship.
Yep. So he's not going to go back to South Africa. He's going to go back to California, get a job. And he says when they come to California, he's going to try to race the California races.
Wild carded in.
Yeah, but he's given up the series.
A job ain't nothing but work, Matthew. If you're listening, a job ain't nothing but work. But yeah, you know, I mean, and that sucks, right? The guy's competitive. He's fast and talented. And he's going to be on the sidelines, right? That doesn't help. That's why I know I'm beating a horse on this one, but that's why I feel like Moto America needs to help line teams up with sponsors and needs to help and help the riders show the benefits of the sponsor.
We've had that conversation before where I think it'd be beneficial if they took a league view, like pro football or
maybe
baseball, to where the league does that kind of stuff. To really push it,
yeah. They need something. They need something because you know we lost Elena Myers because it was just too hard finding sponsorship, right? Mm-hmm. The only woman to win a pro road race, you know, and you lose her, and she's young. She's 22, 23 years old, and you lost her. She could have been, you know, she could have had more wins. Imagine what it would have been like had she won a championship.
Yep.
But you lost her. You're now losing this guy who traveled over from South Africa to race here. You're losing them. You got guys like
There's a lot of guys on that bubble of week to week, month to month.
Right. Not everybody's riding a Yoshimura Suzuki or a Graves Yamaha.
Yeah.
And those guys are struggling, right? Maybe those guys. I hate revenue sharing and stuff like that, but these guys need help. But
it might be a time to start at least think about some kind of league type view of it. Because the revenue sharing to get some of these teams up to speed. Because let's go back to a few moments ago. You know, the top three, you know, JD Beach, Gerloff, and Valentine DeBees, and then there was everybody else.
Yeah.
Once you got past those three, it was a long time between the next bunch.
It's hard selling, you know.
They even lapped guys.
Well, lapping happens in racing, but it's really hard. It's really hard to sit there and sell, right? It's probably not hard to sit there and sell sponsorship on the factory Yamaha, right?
No.
And I'm not trying to be a jerk, right?
Well, we've talked about your Moto America,
right? And you're talking to your teams, and your two biggest teams are Yoshimura Suzuki and Graves Yamaha, which don't have any problems, right? So you can't. You can't necessarily. How are you guys doing getting sponsorship? Yeah, no problem. Okay, well, our two biggest teams aren't struggling. The rest of the guys aren't hustling. It's hard selling the sponsorship to a big money contract to say we're going to come in seventh place.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody wants to pay for seventh place.
Yeah. Well, and it goes up to what we were talking about before. You know, I would hope that they're going to VIR here in a few weeks. It would be nice if one or two of those racers would be come up to the DC area. Depress the flesh for half a day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. It's a good distance away from VIR, but D.C. is the biggest market in this area for VIR.
Yeah. Right. All Northern right. Virginia.
We've already talked about this. Yeah, let's go on to the next. Yeah, let's go to the premier class.
Yeah, Superbike. Superbike, there was controversy, right?
In race one, Tony Elias was in the lead.
And Bouvier kind of gave him the old, Quad City knock.
Allegedly. I thought they touched. You know, Bouvier even admits that they touched, but it didn't look like it was anything serious. And it was, you know, and they touched because he cut underneath Elias, got to the turn first. Elias tried to come over onto him because he was surprised that he was there.
Right. You know, I mean, that's good hard racing, yeah. Right? You know, I mean, we watched that in MotoGP, a World Superbike, and cheer it on. And maybe this is why Tony Elias ain't racing in Europe anymore.
It's not like Bouvier kicked him.
Right. It's not like he blocked him. He didn't, him, right? Yep. I mean.
And that gets, so, and it ends up with Bouvier, Elias, and Hayes in the top three.
With Hayden in fourth and Heron in fifth, which, you know, which is in the beginning of the year, I probably would have said, yeah, that's how I imagine most races would finish. Right. But I don't understand, you know, Elias seemed to be a little
in the post race interview. I thought he was crying.
Probably was.
He seemed to be emotionally caught up in that for whatever reason.
You have to
reason.
Be really sensitive to wear them sunglasses.
Well, that, you know, you might have a point there, but like you pointed out, more than one was wearing them.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was a problem, but Elias made it a problem. And then in race two,
I have no idea what Elias came over the hill, right? And if you ever been to Road Atlanta, that's a blind hill, right? I've never done it on a bike, so I can't say it on a bike for 100% sure, but that's what everybody says. You come over that hill and it's blind. And for some reason he checked up, right? Maybe
he moved into,
well, he checked. He slowed down because
he moved into Barber's line too. Bouvier's line, yeah.
Well, he did at the end of the hill. At the top of the hill, he went way right, and you really come over that hill on a bike. And I'm just saying this from watching races there, never doing this myself, but it looks like the preferred line is to cheat over to the left on the bike, and he comes down and he's on to the right. And then at the bottom of the hill, he swings right to get some momentum to go into the turn. I mean, he swings left, and Bouvier's there, right? Now, he was still a little ahead of him, and they got really close, and then he gets a little out in front of him, turns around and gives him a look.
What did you just try to do?
Why'd you slow up on the hill? Right? Why didn't you come down? Pull the throttle, twist the wrist, buddy. Right, if you're getting caught because you're waiting up, don't give somebody a nasty look. And you came over on his line again
because he said, what he said the day before. So I will remember this. I have a long memory. I will remember this.
Yeah, well, I would tattoo it on his forehead if he did that to me. You know.
Yeah. So I just thought it was poor sportsmanship.
Yeah, go back to France or wherever it is you're from.
Spain.
Whatever. Back to Europe.
But he ended up winning that race.
Yeah, you know, and that doesn't help, right? Him being, now he gets to be a jerk and a race winner.
So in race two, it was Elias,
Hayden,
and
Bouvier. Yeah,
and Heron.
And Heron with Josh Hayes crashing out.
Yes.
Yes. You know, and Eslick was top eight. You know, I'm a little disappointed in Gagne this season.
He's not been a factor.
But it's only
race two. So.
Yeah, well, second weekend. Race four. Well, four races. Right?
Second weekend.
But he was so fast on the Superstock, and now to go to Superbike and not be as fast as he was on the Superbike, I don't know. What maybe the communication problem in the garage, something not right there. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Elias and Bouvier. My best opinion is let him fight it out in the pits.
And so Elias's comment that really kind of irritated not only me but a few other people says, we play clean, but if we have to play a little bit more dirty, that is my strongest point.
He pretty much Ric Flair'd him.
And I also strong in strategy.
He Ric Flair'd him. He's like, I can be the dirtiest player in the book. Well, you know what? Then be it.
If you, Bouvier, want to come here like this, aggressive, let's do it. No problem. You are a good rider, and you don't need to do it like that.
You know, here's what Bouvier should say. He should totally go right to the departed and walk out on his next interview and say, in this country, right? Be like, we race into the corners. We don't slow up going over hills. We race 100% on the track. And when we get past and it gets a little rough, we don't complain. In this country. And then say something like, no ticket, no laundry, or whatever. I don't remember what the quote was. That was a great scene in The Departed.
That was a good movie.
So Elias is leading the points. Bouvier and Hayden are tied. You know, Elias led the points early last year and then threw it away. So I'm not going to say, oh, man. I mean, he does have what appears to be an impressive. I mean, he has a 26-point lead, right, which is a full race and then some. But he managed to throw it away last year, so who knows what's going to happen. Bouvier and Hayden. Bouvier is looking better than he did at Texas. Hayden's going to be a solid second, third place finisher. I'd like to see Hayden win, but I just don't know if I see it happening. And I'd like to see Herron get a win, right? Because I still feel bad about him having to be on that crappy Moto2 team. Right? and he was a great guy. I feel, you know, in some ways I wish everybody got the experience Herron got when he went overseas to see what the racing community is like overseas and stuff like that. So, you know, I just hope he gets a win. Let's go to World Superbike. Screw this. We've talked too much about all this other stuff.
It was more interesting than the World Superbike this week.
I don't know. You had teammates arguing after Super Pole with Rhea and Sykes not being happy with each other.
Well, how can you tell?
I don't know. I don't think they've ever, you know, everybody's like, oh, they're not happy with each other. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they've actually never liked each other. Right? They don't seem to be buddy buddies.
No.
Right? And so it's like, oh, hey, you know, so there was a little bit of controversy about somebody ruining the line in Super Pole and yada, yada, yada. But it's always entertaining to see two British people argue. Like, part of me says when I retire and get old, I just want to move to England and sit in pubs and watch two British guys argue.
Because you won't understand what they're saying.
I have no idea. And the way the words they use are like, no, you know, but you could, it's like watching the Swedish chef, right? He's like, what? I don't even know what that means. I gotta look that up.
They say England and America is, you know, two cousins separated by the same language.
Yes, and it's true when you watch that. Right, when you watch the interviews, you don't get that. But when they're like talking amongst themselves, arguing, you're like, what was that? And then Rhea and Davies
got into it too.
Got into it after the race, you know? And it's like, okay, Rhea has been on top of his game the last couple years. Is it frustration from the other riders? Is it... Or is does Rhea race dirty? I don't know. There's usually no one around him.
I was about to say it's kind of hard to tell since he's typically by himself.
So I don't know about I don't know where this all ends up and what's going on.
Well, Rhea even got a 3-position penalty as you alluded to after Super Bowl. So he started in fourth place.
Yeah.
At the beginning of race one and still won the race.
Yeah, I really think you could start Rhea in last and he'd win.
Well, I think that's why they did the race two reorder of the field,
right,
to try to make it fair.
They're not putting Rhea far enough back. What they should do is start him 20 seconds after the field. You win race one, you start 20 seconds after the field.
He still might win.
He probably will, but at least it'll be fun to watch. You know, but, okay, Davies in race one was out leading till he got passed at the very end, and then his bike kaput.
Yes. That was going to be a close finish. I still think Ray would have won it. But because Davies' bike, he looked weird multiple times during the race.
He did.
The bike looked like it was wobbling at different points.
Yeah, it looked
for like, no reason. It's not like he cut a corner, ran through the grass, or a corner, run off the pavement for a second. With the exception of, was it Davies that ran down the rumble strips and backslapped?
Yeah.
With the exception of that, everything else, his bike just didn't look stable at times.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not, and I don't know. I didn't even get to see like what happened to the bike afterwards, right? Like, why did it all of a sudden just kaput?
I never heard a reason.
So you know,
could have ran out of gas. Could a spark plug fell out? Who knows?
You know, maybe it ran out of smoke. Right? I mean,
the smoke didn't come out.
So I don't know. I don't know what happened there. You know, it had all the makings to be a great finish.
Well, it still was.
It was.
You know, him and Sykes came to, you know, it was half a wheel difference at the very end between him and Sykes.
But it could have been a three-way battle with three people that obviously don't like each other.
It could have very well been a photo finish between three racers.
Yeah, and that would have been a great finish, right? That would have been like, ooh, yay! But it really just wasn't. It was
Rea's 11th win at Assen.
Yeah, it was Rea saying, yeah, I'm going to maybe finish this with only dropping one race all year, which is bad for the sport, in my opinion.
Just my opinion. You get on to, you keep going back to how old these guys are. Well, Ray is 30 years old.
Yeah.
He's at the top of his game.
In motorcycle racing, I'd say, yeah, that's fair. Supercross is a lot rougher on the body, right? In road racing, I think 30 years old is the top of your game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why I say Bobby Fong can't move over, right? Bobby Fong, who's 30, why he can't move over and run World Superbike and stuff is because I think you need a few years on the track, right? You need to learn the tracks, and you can't learn them on a video game. You need to ride them, and you need to be able to watch.
Xbox is pretty close.
Yeah, but you need to watch where people are riding them. You need to see what's fast, how people do it, right? So I feel like if you're an American and you go over there at 21, like when Heron went over, he was like 21, I believe, or 20, right? I felt like, okay, in 3 to 4 years, he's going to know the tracks, and he's going to be able to stomp a mud hole in people if he's on a good bike, right? The Europeans have a big advantage in these championship series because Europe's small.
You can get to the tracks.
Right? So these
guys, you can get to all the tracks a lot easier.
Right? They all race these tracks coming up.
It's hard to go from Barber to Laguna Seca.
It's a lot further from Barber from Laguna Seca than it is from England to,
Assen.
To Assen, or England to Le Mans, or England to, Portugal, or, Portimao, or Jerez, or any of these tracks, right? The Europeans has a big advantage because their series, and they can, how our guys go and do track days at other tracks, these guys do track days at tracks they're going to be racing in these other series, right? And you learn the track, right? Why is Josh Hayes dominant? Because Josh Hayes has run the tracks more than anybody else in the series. Right? He has the most laps, so he knows the track the best.
And in race two,
what do you say? First, same as the first, right?
Just third place is different. Davies actually finished the race in third versus DNF and in the first race.
Right. But, I still think Kawasaki's are the best bikes out there right now.
Ducati worried me. I really, when I saw both races, I could see that bike wobbling at times. But he's still running the heck out of it.
Missed setup? I don't know. I don't know what that was. Right? The bike looked really fast in some sections and scary to ride in the others.
Yeah, couldn't tell you, but that's why we're sitting here and not actually riding the bikes.
Or being team leader, crew chiefs, right? I mean, if I knew all these answers, I'd be a crew chief somewhere. I'd be like, hey, you got fixing the bike. So Rea is looking like he's on his way to another World Superbike title 30 years old. I don't see him retiring, right? Maybe he'll get a nod to go to MotoGP. Maybe he won't want to.
That's possible.
Right? You know, I mean, Ken and I always talk, and Ken thinks it's a straight move over pass, and I think MotoGP's still a move up in my mind, right? It's the big boys. It's the prototypes to me. That's a move above, you know, a super bike. But, you know, he might not be any good on a light bike, a small light bike. So who knows? But Reyes, Sykes, I don't, you know, I'm sure Davies is going to get a couple more wins this season. Reyes just looks too dominant.
What? He's the only one that's won this season.
No, Davies won that race two at Aragon.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, but Rea came in second, right? And he's like Ryan Dungey.
And Sykes has been, you know, within a couple hundreds of seconds from a win.
A couple times. Sykes is having a great season, except for Rea's having a better. Right? You know.
Difference between great and awesome.
Yeah. And I don't see, unless, you know, knock on wood, I hope it don't happen, but if Rea goes, the only way this is going to change is if Rea goes down and sits out a couple of races.
Well, I don't know, because it is so close between those three.
It is, but the intangibles are seeming...
They're falling for Rea right now.
Right, and that's... And it's always better to be lucky than good.
Sometimes. And now, if Rea chooses the wrong tire setup, or the bike's not quite right, or he misses it. He had the problem last year. He missed the gear a couple of times.
Yes,
right. If that happens, then Sykes or Davies is going to have a chance to have a clean win.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I just don't know if a clean win versus a couple thirds is going to be enough to damage the lead Rea has built already. Right? It's a lot of right. I mean, he's got a 64-point lead over Sykes. Woof. Six races in. That means, as scary as this sound, he's gaining 10 points a race on the number two guy.
Yep. Makes it tough.
I mean, he's 84 points ahead of third place Chaz Davies.
At what point, if he keeps this up, at what point does it become mathematically impossible?
Right. The season, around the halfway point, the season's going to be close to over.
If nothing changes.
And right now, I don't...
And do you see Rea coming off the podium at all, other than a DNF? If something happens to the bike, or somebody knees him, do you see him not finishing on the podium somewhere?
If he's on two wheels, I don't see him.
No, I don't either.
Right?
If he's still upright, on the podium. Still upright, he's going to be on the podium.
Because I still think he's faster. I would say the only guys who are as fast as him, and obviously they're not, or Sykes, Davies, and maybe Melandri, right?
Well, I'd say Davies. Sykes for sure, because they're racing the same freaking bike.
Davies held the lead in race one for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? And while Rea was there, they battled a little bit and stuff, and I don't know what would have happened if Davies didn't have the problem, right? Maybe he had something a little left. But I don't see Lowe's or Vandermark or Forres or Torres or Camier or Laverty or there's an American racing, I think. His name's Hayden, right? I don't see any – Brattle. I don't see any of these guys taking away that podium spot from him. I think the worst chance he might have a fourth. That's a bad race.
Well, it goes like the first race. Unless there's a mechanical or a crash, the podium's going to be Rea, Sykes, or Davies. Pick your position, but it's going to be one of those three.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 13-round season, 26 races. He's got 5 wins. He's already won a fifth of the races this year.
Yep.
Right?
And Sykes has been in the top three each one of those times, hasn't he?
No, he has one where...
Did he have a DNF?
Yeah, what was it? He had one where it was not, where he didn't do so good.
And then Davies has had a DNF.
Yeah.
So, those are the only times
Race two at Aragon, I believe, was the one he did.
So, those are the only times anybody else has finished on the podium.
Yeah.
So, unless something happens to one of those three racers, those are the only three you're going to be on the podium the rest of the season, in my opinion.
Probably. Well, I think Melandri can sneak in on occasion.
if something happens to one of those three.
Yeah, but, you know.
I don't see Melandri straight out beating Davies. I don't see Melandri straight out beating Sykes or Rhea.
Yeah, well, maybe Sykes.
No, Sykes' bike is just as fast as he has proven it's exactly as fast.
Melandri's a hell of a rider.
Sykes isn't shabby.
Yeah, that's true. So, unfortunately, World Superbike's just turning into being a bit of a boring season.
The Rhea series.
Yeah, it should be like Rhea Superbike or World Rhea. Or, I don't know, Rhea bike? I don't know. It's turning, and I hate that. I always love...
Tune in for World Rhea bike this week.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Rhea wins.
Bloody hell, right? They're just going to have to get announcers that are way more into it. We got MotoGP this week. Where are they? Jerez, right?
Yes.
Jerez.
No, I was going to say Flat Tracks this week, but it's 2 weeks. Just
no,
two more
Flat
weeks.
Tracks, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Supercross
final. Coming up,
yes,
this weekend.
Supercross final
Saturday
night. It's
Fox
all on
Sports
the line.
One supposedly
way past my bedtime. Anybody who wants can text and Facebook message me to keep me awake. I would appreciate that.
I will definitely be live tweeting at least the first hour, maybe hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
At some point, you see me quit tweeting. That means I've fallen asleep.
You know, I'm gonna tweet things like this should be a 7 p.m. Eastern start. No one cares about the West Coast.
I would say, Ralph Shaheen, why are you wearing a green shirt? This should be on at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Why is this not on at 7 o'clock? All right, we'll be back next week.